to This Magical Life, a weekly podcast hosted by two witchy friends.
I'm Victoria. I'm a mom, I manage a shop, and I teach Teen Witch Academy.
I'm Margaret. I'm a magical bard, and I love tarot and astrology.
We're both witches and dog people.
Hi, Victoria.
Hey, Margaret. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. I'm looking here at the table, and we have our plants that we're supposed to be planting outside, you know, of the shop in our planters, but I keep forgetting the soil.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a little bit of a problem.
Well, they do have some of their own, but I think you want more.
They do, yeah. Those containers that I have to plant them in are pretty large.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You picked some beautiful ones. The purple on this one is just...
Isn't it gorgeous?
Deep and gorgeous.
Yeah.
And lovely.
Yeah, Beckham was home this weekend, and he took me to the nursery, and we did some gardening stuff nice. In the yard, and it was really fun.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah. He helped me make all of my pots be able to drain, because normally I just, like, whenever I have, like, a big pot, I just put, Poland Spring bottles or something in the bottom so that there's some drainage, and then I put the soil, and then I plant my plants. But what happens is they catch, like, the water just stays in there.
Yeah.
Usually in the summer it does, and it somehow gets all sucked up in the roots. But, you know, in the spring and fall and winter, it does not. So he drilled holes in all my pots, so they all have drainage now. And, yeah, I feel very, very blessed.
Good job, Beckham.
No, so I was really excited about that.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And welcome back to Trinity. Trinity is sitting here with us. She's doing some other work. Yeah.
Hi,
but,
Trin.
For the shop. But if, you know, no pressure, but if you hear something or you want to chime in, just speak up. It's all good.
Yes, absolutely.
That goes for always, Trinity, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, of course, we have Trixie here with us, who
Trixie.
Is asleep. Trixie probably won't be piping up unless another dog walks by.
Yeah, well, you know. It's, one might. I mean, it's kind of warmish, but it's still kind of cloudy out.
I think we're going to have kind of a gray week.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I do like the gray, but, like, you know, I'm ready for some sunshine.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
And it was nice here yesterday where we are, but yeah.
Yeah.
The gray gets a little sleepy.
Yeah, it does. Nap time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So yesterday, you know, we worked and, or I should say, Trin worked, and then I showed up for a couple hours.
Okay, great.
Basically did nothing. But I was so tired that when I got home, like, I usually do this thing where, like, I don't really sit down, because if I do, that's kind of like the end of it, like everybody else, right? So, except now with the warmer weather coming, that won't happen as much. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep moving around. And Trinity was filling out some application for something, so... she's like, can you help me? So I sat down, and then I never got back up for like 2 hours.
Hey, sometimes that's how it goes.
Yeah, that is how it goes. And, yeah, but, I watched, Only Murders in the Building.
I love that show.
Yeah, I've never seen the last season. So season 3.
Yep.
And so I thought that I would start watching that. And it's just the way that it's filmed and the dialogue and everything, like, every episode, going into every episode, you think that the killer is somebody else.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, you find, like, the backstory and everything. And just, like, the way that they do it and, like, you get the information, like, a little bit at a time. I really like it. There's no, like, boringness. There's no, like, oh, we've seen this before or anything. So, yeah, it was, I really enjoyed it. It's a good season.
It is a really good season. I have to say, before we get to our topic, while we're on the topic of shows Steve Martin is in, his documentary... What a snooze fest. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I
fell asleep through part of the first half of it. And the second half opens for about 15 minutes. He's talking about how he makes poached eggs and how him and Martin Short send each other pictures of poached eggs whenever they're traveling. And I'm like, it was like delivered in such a way that was just, I'm sorry to say, not funny. I'm like, maybe all of his funny comes out in performance,
maybe.
Which is fine.
No one
needs to be on all the time.
Right, right.
But like... I was very surprised.
Oh, okay.
I would say, because, like, his work usually cracks me up.
Yeah. No, he's...
And Only Murders in the Building is one of those things. He absolutely cracks me up on that show.
Yeah, he's very wonderful. Funny. And Martin Short is, of course, excellent.
And Selena Gomez. I didn't know could act until this show.
Yeah. I had seen her in... What was that movie that you loved, Trin? It was like...
Waverly Place?
No, that was the show that she was in. But didn't she do that movie where, like, her and her two friends go to, like, Monaco?
Oh, yeah, Monte Carlo.
Monte Carlo, okay. And yeah, maybe. I don't know. But, like, so I've seen her in things. But she looks very different this season. I think that, like, she looks really good. Not that she didn't look good before, but, like, she looks like she's really, like, taking care of herself and maybe focusing on some self-care. Because I think that for young women in Hollywood, they can't focus on themselves. They just have to focus on, like, you know, their terrible way of eating. But she looks really good, and she just looks really happy. And remember when she was dating Justin Bieber? That's such a throwback. I only think of it because just recently, like, this terrible, like, video came to the surface with him and that Sean Puff Daddy guy because, you know, he's in a lot of trouble. And Justin Bieber, like, they claim that he's 15 in this video, okay? And I'm like, I think that that's even a fake age. I think he's more like 10. He was always, even now, he looks so young.
He does.
I don't know how old he is now, but, like, he's got to be in his
20s. He's a little older than me, I think. He's got to be like... All
right, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, because to me, he looks like he could just be like one of Beckham's friends that, you know, come home from school. So, like, he could be like 18 or 19. I mean, I guess his friends are in their 20s, but...
Get ready to be shocked.
Okay.
He is 30.
What? No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Now he, I don't know if he has a picture of Dorian Gray in his closet or he's using some great facial product. He looks so young.
He is 30 years old.
Which is so amazing because, like, usually, like, anybody who's in, like, that rock star kind of, you know, pop star thing, wheel, I guess I'll call it. They, by the time that they're like 30 or 40, they look like they're 100.
Yeah, but they also tend to live for 8 million years.
Oh, they do, because they're because so they're pickled.
Exactly.
Like Keith Richards.
Exactly. Keith Richards has like so many things going on in his system, probably. He'll be here for another 500 years.
Yes, exactly. So, like all like that alcohol really.
In a way, and like hair.
Right, really pickled him. And, but yeah, he looks great. Wow, he's 30.
He's 30 years old.
I swear to God, like, I thought he was, like, Beckham's age. I'm like, I don't know what's the matter with this.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. He like, has been around a little while.
He was definitely older than you then.
Yeah.
He was older than you then. So that's changed.
Yeah. Now we don't know. We once saw him, and I brought a Jane Austen book. I think I was reading Pride and Prejudice. During the concert.
Like that is...
Because you had to wait so long.
But that is excellent.
Yeah.
It's a concentration. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and applaud that.
I was like, I'm not really into his music. Sorry, Justin Bieber, if you're listening, well, I mean, like, obviously.
You and I are not his target audience.
Yeah, no, we're not. Yeah. But I wanted to bring Trin and her friend, and I was like, I'll bring you and I'll go. Because they were, you know, they were younger than him, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
You know,
back
and
then.
Back then. But he put on, like, a really good show and everything. It was, like, there was a lot happening. But I was, like, I'm just going to read my book. And Trinity was so embarrassed. She was, like, Mom, I can't believe you're reading. And I'm, like, everybody around me is, like, I don't know, 12.
Yeah, it would almost be creepy if you weren't reading.
Yeah, like, I was just, like, I mean, there was, like, a few moms and dads, like, scattered. But, like, most of them were on their phones. So yeah. I was, like, I'm just, I was using my phone as a flashlight.
I was going to say, otherwise, how would you see the book?
Yeah, but I read... And it was delightful. So thank you for that, Justin Bieber. But he looks good for 30. Not that 30 is so old, but like he still looks like he's 15.
Yeah.
And like I said, on this video, they claim that he's 15. I think he's more like 10. So he always looks super young. But yeah. So I don't know how I got on Justin Bieber. I'm not even sure.
We don't really need to know. It's all good.
I don't know how that roadway came up.
Go back and listen. I'm sure it'll come through.
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
If you're listening, hey.
Well, we can't say hey girl to him because he's not a girl, but
no.
Hey girl.
Yeah. True, true. But yeah. Because I was talking about Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, and Selena Gomez.
It's Selena Gomez, okay. Is she dating anybody, Trin? Like, is she married? Maybe she's married now.
I don't actually know what her current relationship status is.
I wonder, she almost 32?
No. I'll look her up.
Yeah, how old is she? Because she looks good.
I think she's slightly older than him.
We do really? Have a topic today, and we will get to it. She's 31.
Wow, okay.
She'll be 32 this summer.
She also looks like a little spring chicken. Yeah. Trin had her friends over this weekend, like the three of them, they look like they're like little spring chickens.
I know.
I'm just like, oh my gosh. I couldn't believe. Well, maybe you guys didn't. I didn't notice. Did you guys get carded everywhere we went? Because I feel like you don't even get carded. And I'm like, they're so young. Like, you're not going to card them? They're all legal, but, you know.
Probably the fact that they were with you.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Like, although you like do look very young for your age,
well,
but.
I think I got carded. They were like, what are you? You're ordering a mocktail? We're still going to card you. Because we don't even know if you're old enough to have a mocktail.
Juices, yeah. Too. Yeah. Too racy.
Yeah, too racy. But, yeah, everybody looks so young. I guess maybe I'm just getting older, and that's why everybody looks young.
Yeah,
maybe.
I hear you.
Yeah, maybe they just look. But like even Trinity, I mean, she looks like she's 16 years old. Yeah, yeah. So
good,
you know,
Trin.
Yeah,
keep it up.
And I'm always like, why aren't people carding you? Like, this is terrible. Like, the world needs to get better about this.
At that, yeah.
Yeah.
Take that advice, world.
Yeah.
Get better about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that's my teenage section of the podcast.
And I don't know if there's a way to segue into our topic, so I'm just going to do a blunt transition.
Okay.
Today, we're talking about your big three.
Your big three!
Your sun, your moon, and your rising sign. And can I just start this off by saying, I love now that when people talk to each other about their astrology, they're not just saying, what's your sun sign?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so much more than one sign. Mm-hmm. Anyone's sign. We're so much more than three signs, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, three is just scratching the surface, rather. But, you know, the fact that we're starting to go a little bit deeper in that when we speak about it as a populace is very exciting to me. The other reason is that I don't personally believe we start off embodying our sun sign. We stretch toward it again, you know, over time, on and off, on and off. And I think that most people, and there are always caveats to this, most people probably embody their sun sign starting around middle age. Like, they sort of like get into that part of themselves more and more. Because the sun sign and the rising sign both contribute so heavily to your personality. You know, and sometimes they could be polar opposites.
They can be.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you some questions. So your sun sign is
like... It's where the sun was when you were born.
Right, okay. Your moon sign...
Is where the moon was when you were born.
And your rising sign...
Is where the horizon was when you were born.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're just for anybody who, you know, who needs to know this, because I get all this stuff confused, so I usually just go to Margaret for everything. So, but you may not have a Margaret in your life, and maybe you do, and then that's wonderful. But if you don't, that's you know, I want to make sure that we're all knowing what we're talking about.
Yeah, and the important thing to remember is the sun and moon are both luminaries, which astrologically can be called planets.
Mm-hmm.
But the rising sign is just a point. It's not any particular body in the sky. Mm-hmm. In astrology, when we look at a birth chart, we're looking at planets and luminaries, but we're also looking at points like your ascendant or rising sign, your midheaven, your IC, your DC, your, you know, like they're the nodes. There are these points, but they're like not actual real physical things in the sky. So it's really important to remember that, because, you know, you're not going to be like, oh, well, my rising sign is over there today. No, your rising sign was just where the horizon was when you were born.
Right. Okay.
And you need to have your birth time to get your rising sign, unless you have someone do a retroactive chart for you, which is a huge undertaking. And I don't even know how to do it, because it probably involves lots of math and calculations. And I'm not going to do that. But also, your moon can change depending on what time you were born, because the moon moves pretty quick from one sign to the next.
Right.
So if you don't have the right birth time, you can still get a birth chart, but your moon and rising sign might be different than what the chart actually displays. So it's important to keep that in mind. But if you have your birth time and you know it's your correct birth time, which is something I experienced last summer, a correction of that, you can get your sun, your moon, and your rising sign. And these are known as your big three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really interesting. You know, I mostly, when I was growing up, of course, it was like the 70s and 80s, and everybody would be like, what's your sign? You know, they really just meant your sun sign.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody at that point even thought about the fact that there's more to you than that. But I think birth charts are really magical, And that's how, of course, I found out where all of my, sun, you know, my moon was and my, well, I knew where my sun was, okay. But, you know, my moon and my rising and, you know, but it's also neat to find out, like, where your Saturn is and where your Jupiter is and, you know, and what the houses mean. And it's really confusing.
At first it is, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, to me, it's a little bit more memorization than some other things because it's not like a gut feeling, you know, like when you're like doing any sort of divination, sometimes you're unclear of what's going on, but then you get that kind of gut feeling. You know, astrology is not really a gut feeling, you know.
No, it's a little really bit more of like a scientific.
Yeah, it's very sciencey.
Approach to divination, if you're using it for divination, or, you know, even just like understanding yourself better. I don't particularly use it for divination in the sense of like, oh, this transit is happening, therefore this will happen to me. It's more like, these are some themes that these transits could bring to light or stuff like that. Because the one thing that any good astrologer will do is avoid telling you what will be. Not because they don't believe it, but because you could walk out the door and go left instead of right and it changes everything. Like, you have free will.
Yep.
And, like, that's a really important thing to remember as you're learning about your signs is, like, it's not a prescription. It's a description. You know, so it's, like, it's more like this. These are the opportunities and challenges presented to you in this life by this roadmap, if you will, because I know you like that term.
I like that term.
Instead of like, this is what's going to happen to you. Because then everybody who had the same sign in the same house would live the same life.
Right.
And that doesn't make any sense.
Right. Absolutely it doesn't. Now, let me ask you this, and this may not be the right wording, but what does your sun sign represent for you? Like, I'm an Aquarius. So what is that representing? Is that the way that other people see me? Is that the way I see myself? Is that the way, I don't know, all other choices out
there? Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Could you tell us, like, what the sun sign means to you? I mean, not to you personally, but to you as an individual.
Yep.
And your moon sign and your rising sign?
Of course. So the best way I've come to understand it, I'm actually going to start with your rising sign.
Okay.
Your rising sign is how you go out into the world. It's the personality you bring with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also, in my mind, the personality that you embody the most in the first parts of your life. It's a little bit easier to access, and I'll get to why.
Mm-hmm.
Your moon sign is a lot of things. It can do so much. It can tell you so much. It can tell you what you value. It can tell you about your relationship with your mother. It can tell you about your relationship with other people. I'm going to, you know, it can tell you about your relationship to yourself and how you provide security and comfort to yourself and others. It can do all of these things. So it's kind of like the archetypal mother in your birth chart. The sun, however, is like the archetypal father. That's the personality that we're here to embody, that we're on track to, that our soul wants to embody in this life,
okay,
in this human life. So we may, much the way a child, now this is non-gender specific. If I am talking about mother and father, it's about energy types.
Yes, okay.
And not actual gendered people. A child will find comfort in the mother energy. Right? But the father energy represents the wide world. And so the child is constantly stretching toward that. But it's scary out there, right? Like,
yep.
Father energy can be stern. It can be, you know, just as a little example, when I was learning to drive, my own father, who brought the father energy a lot in my life when I was younger, he was teaching me how to drive. And I was a little bit younger than I should have been, let's put it that way. And he brought me to a parking lot of a state park to, like, get to know the car or whatever. And then there was a long stretch of road to get back to, like, the real roads. And he said, you're going to drive up to that, and then you're going to pull over, and we're going to switch places, and I'll drive home. We were only, like, 2 miles from our house, by the way. It was not far away.
Mm-hmm.
But I was such a timid driver. So we're approaching the traffic light to, like, the real road, right? And I said to him, all right, Dad, when do you want me to pull over and stop? And he's like, not yet, just go a little further. Okay. So I go a little further, and I'm like, how about here? And like, we're so close to the traffic light now, and I know once we hit that light, technically I'm supposed to have a learner's permit. I'm supposed mm-hmm. to be 16. I was 15. Mm-hmm. Like, all these things are supposed to, you know, happen. Right. And in my mind, I'm using them as the reason why I shouldn't drive anymore. Like, I'm like, I was very hesitant, like I said. So we're approaching. He's like, we'll pull over. Don't worry. Keep going. We get to the light. Thankfully, it's a red light. But as soon as it turns green, he reaches over and pushes down on my knee to accelerate the car and force me to drive home. He did not take his hand off my knee except for if I had to stop again. We didn't go very fast.
Right.
Maybe went like 25 miles.
That's a dad trick, yeah.
It's such a dad trick. Mm-hmm. Of course, we got home. And I wasn't angry or anything. I was fine, but I like went up to my mom and I was like, "You're never gonna believe what Dad did to me." You know. So I always think of that as the perfect example of like stretching toward the wider world, mm-hmm. and all of the opportunities and risks it carries, and then coming back to the security of the maternal, right? So that's how I see the sun and moon kind of working together in somebody's chart. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say it can take us until, on average, around midlife to fully embody our sun sign is because I think that we're constantly going back and forth. We want to stretch toward that, but it's a little bit scary. So then we're going to come back and comfort ourselves, mm-hmm. which may or may not mean coming back to your actual mother figure. It might just be you need to retreat and nurture yourself. And then, you know, like, so what happens to your rising sign in all this? Let's say that you reach the point where you're fully embodying your sun sign. Does that mean the rising sign falls away and is meaningless? Absolutely not. The sun sign is who you are. The rising sign is who you present to the world, right? So there could still be that difference, mm-hmm. right? So as an example, I'm a Capricorn sun. Who I am, I'm going to be honest. I want recognition from my books, mm-hmm. but I want it because I want them to change people's lives for the better. That's the sun sign in me. Mm-hmm. I fully embodied that. I fully accepted that. That's the Capricorn side. I'm very ambitious in that. But it also has to be done in a way that aligns with who I am. Because if it's just done with the means ignored and the end in mind, mm-hmm. it will not feel authentic to a Capricorn.
Right.
Right? Those have to be in alignment. But I'm a Taurus rising. So when I present to people, it's more like the slow, like plotting growth. Mm-hmm. Whereas Capricorn doesn't mind slowness, but only if it's in service to that, to those means and that end. Right? So it's like, I'll be okay with pushing towards something slowly, mm-hmm. but there still has to be that push.
Right, okay.
A very strong push, and it has to be for the reason of betterment of others, okay. or there's no point, right? Okay. And I'm not saying Taurus doesn't care about betterment of others. Mm-hmm. I know plenty of Taurans who care mm-hmm. about the betterment of others. I would never say that about Taurus. I actually like it as a sign very much. Like, I like all the signs very mm-hmm. much.
Well, all the signs have everything, really, they have everything. Except they have things that are more
opportunities and challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you know, just because somebody maybe isn't doing something doesn't mean they're not capable of that.
Exactly.
You know, everybody's capable of everything. Yeah. But, you know, yes, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's certain things that I always looked at it like, you know, when you're like learning a sport, there's just certain things that you're better at.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I have two kids. They both grew up in the same house, but they both have different, of course, you know, sun signs, moon sign and rising.
Yeah.
Okay. But they both grew up in the same house and they both got like the same parenting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have one child that could basically, you know, sell anything to anybody and be the mayor. And I have another child who just thinks a little bit more and like it goes inward a little bit more mm-hmm. and isn't so worried about that outward stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just different in that way. It doesn't mean that, you know, one of them could not do what the other one's doing.
Of course.
They of course could, but... You know, some things, some traits just come out more.
Exactly.
I think when, you know, depending on your astrology.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like anybody could decide to work toward any goal. It's mm-hmm. how are you going to get there? Mm-hmm. And who are you going to be along the way? That's the astrological thumbprint.
Right.
As it were. And I've had people ask me like, okay, what about twins? Right? They're born pretty darn close together.
Yep.
Are they destined to be the same? Absolutely not. even a minute could make a difference in an astrological birth chart. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that changes is the aspects of the place, planets and luminaries and points to themselves.
Right.
Right. So in that minute, things could be different. Are there going to be drastic differences in the chart? Probably not. Like all the planets themselves are probably going to be pretty much the same sign in the house. But
their moon could be different.
Their moon could be different. Their rising sign could be different. And the aspects could be different. Mm-hmm. Aspects are the relationship between the placements of other things for anyone who's not sure what that means. So, you know, everyone has their own unique birth chart. It's kind of like a snowflake. I don't think there are any two the same. There are certainly similarities you can look at. Like, I was looking at rulers during the Renaissance, and they have certain similarities. There's a lot of fire in their charts, you know, like stuff like that.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. That was a very fiery time to rule.
Right. But I'm sure that there are rulers that have no fire in their chart, and they still were a crazy ruler and, you know, did things the way that they wanted to and, you know, got things done.
Crimes, absolutely.
Right. Right. So let me ask you this. Yeah. Let's say that I'm somebody and I'm like, okay, I know what my sun sign is, but like, how do I find out what my moon sign and my rising are? I'm all over the place today in my head.
No, that's fine. There's a couple things you can do. You can go to a site and have it generated for you. Cafe Astrology or Astro Dienst. Mm-hmm. I might be mispronouncing that, but it's Astro Dienst. They have the ability to pull your chart and can tell you what all of your placements are. The one thing I will say with that is, unless you're purchasing a report written by a human, take the report side of it with a grain of salt, because if a computer's generating it, what it's doing is it's saying, okay, you've got a Mercury in this house and this sign. Here's the paragraph that was pre-written for Mercury in this house and this sign. You've got a Venus in this house and this sign. Here's the paragraph that was pre-written for that. Mm-hmm. They may not jive. Mm-hmm. Whereas a human astrologer is going to look at the chart and look for patterns. So it's going to be more accurate of a description. But if you just want to know what the placements are, you can get your chart a number of places.
Right.
Another option is to work with an astrologer. Mm-hmm. Every astrologer I've looked into and or worked with has provided the chart. The chart is not what takes the expertise to develop, unless you're having someone calculate your chart by hand. Most astrologers will just plug your information into a computer program or an app, get your chart, and talk to you about it from there. Mm-hmm. So it should be no skin off their teeth to provide it to you. Mm-hmm. So you can get your chart that way as well. There are apps you can use. I like Chenny Nicholas. I also like Charts Plus to get birth charts. There are other apps out there. Just keep in mind that anytime you're getting your chart from an app or website or computer program, there's different house systems. So your chart may look different in whole sign house versus Placidus house system versus any other house system. There are a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. And while your planets and such will always be in the same signs, regardless of what the chart creator is, the houses may change.
Okay.
So this is really important to remember. It doesn't mean one is more accurate or not. Mm-hmm. In fact, I kind of like using programs that do multiple house systems, because sometimes I'll look at one site and look at the transits for the day and see where it is with my stuff and what's in the same house. Like, it doesn't really bring anything up for me. And then I'll go look at another one in a different house system. I'm like, oh, there it is. It actually is going to impact that because they're in the same house together. Or they're in the house that represents this in my life or whatever. So it can be a really good idea if you are comfortable to use programs that have different house systems in use, or to get a program that allows you to choose different house systems. I use a program called Astro Gold, and I use it for my iPhone and my iPad. Mm-hmm. They do have a desktop program. It was a lot more money, and I wanted to get to know the program first, get to know charts first.
Right.
I don't really need to have it on my computer. Using it does a little bit more, but I'm not at a point in my astrological journey where I'm doing those things yet.
Okay.
So the app works just fine for me. Okay. So if someone is just starting out or they want to go a little bit above, you know, someone else's interpretations, That's a good one if you're using any Apple devices. There are ones for other, like Android and Google devices. I don't know what those are or if Astro Gold works on those, but that's what I use.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that all this is really fascinating. It's not the thing that I, know off the top of my head. A lot of times I have to, look things up. And even different books, when you look things up, say different things.
They say different things.
There's different, of course, if your moon's in a house, mm-hmm. like where is it in the house? Is it in the center of the house? Is it to one side?
Yeah.
Is it closer to the house, like next to it on the right or next to it on the left? It's really fascinating stuff, but you do learn so much about yourself. And you learn, like, it kind of helps you when you're thinking, well, this is why I am the way that I am. And I'm having a hard time changing that. Cause I know, like in coaching, we don't use astrology or anything, but you can tell, like, when somebody's having a hard time changing a habit, there are just certain signs and certain, ways that your charts are laid out that, it's a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can't do it. It's just a little bit more challenging. Just like it's a little bit easier for somebody else,
Yeah.
But you can do whatever you set your mind to. And that's the thing that I do love about astrology, because like you said, free will. You always, you can always do what's right for you, or what's just right. But I think that it's just really fascinating because it really just gives you almost like the groundwork, I guess, for, like who you are, and, you can go from there, but it doesn't have to define who you are.
Yeah.
And that's what I always loved about astrology.
Same. Well, let's take a fake example. Let's say you have someone with a sun in Scorpio,
mm-hmm.
A moon in Virgo, and a rising sign in Leo.
Okay.
All right. This is someone, maybe they have to give a speech or a public presentation and they're really, really nervous about it. They could look at just their sun sign and say, Scorpio, I like to keep things hidden into myself. And like, not all Scorpios are this way, but they may be embodying it mm-hmm. that way. And they may feel like, oh goodness, it's absolutely hopeless for me. And they might look at their moon and say, Virgo, that's really, can be really critical and perfectionist, and I'm never going to be able to do this. They may come to an astrologer who might be able to say, all right, look, your rising sign is in Leo, so you can do this. So let's tap into that and see what's connected to that and how you can work with that. And also how you can shift the thinking around the moon, since it can indicate so much to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, yeah, Virgo can be a perfectionist and really hypercritical, but it can also be very creative and it's really good at detail. So mm-hmm. if you've got to get a presentation delivered, you can get the details across in a way that maybe someone else can't. Or, Virgo's ruled by Mercury, so let's talk about how that can help your communication. There's a difference between just knowing what your signs are versus knowing how to use them. And they may be an aspect to something else in your chart that could unlock something for you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I always try to talk about astrology in terms of like challenges or lessons to learn and opportunities, because none of it is bad. None of it's bad. So if you've got something you want to do and you feel like something in your chart is blocking you, there's just a question of how do you reframe it? How do you work around it? How do you approach this? It's like if somebody had, maybe like their Saturn in Pisces and they're like, I'm horrible at setting boundaries, so I'm just not going to try. Well, maybe their Mars is in Aries and they'd actually be really good at setting boundaries if they worked with their Mars side instead mm-hmm. of their Saturn side. So it's like, it's about learning yourself better so that you can go through the world as yourself better and meet the goals, do the things you want to do. Nothing in astrology is telling you have to do this or you have to be this way or this or that or the other thing. You get to choose. And it's just saying like, here's like a roadmap or here's the key to unlock yourself so that you can find the path of least resistance and or understand the lesson that the challenge is bringing you. Because sometimes that resistance is there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul may have selected to have resistance in this, And I'm not saying this to blame people who are going through hard things, someone who might be chronically ill. I'm not like, your soul chose it, so bye.
Right.
That's not at all what I mean. But, someone who is experiencing a difficulty in some way, it may be that your soul wanted to learn that lesson. And this is the way the universe has given you as a path to learn that lesson. So
that's such a great way to look at it.
That's
right.
I mean, you know, it's sort of the whole like, why do bad things happen to good people kind of thing. Like, of course, nobody deserves the bad stuff.
Right.
But like, what can we take from that struggle to unlock something better within ourselves?
And it's hard to see that though. Definitely. Right? But yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Although it's a hard pill to swallow. You know, like it'd be like, this is happening for a reason, you know?
Well, this is another reason why I advocate people taking care when they use those automatic reports, because they're not going to have the compassion that a human astrologer will have. And I'm not trying to make sales for myself. Come to me, don't come to me, go see someone else. It's all good. But like going to a human, you're going to get the opportunity to start to work through that with compassion coming toward you instead of just cold output.
Absolutely. And I just want to put in like, well, not really a disclaimer because it's not really a disclaimer, but you know, be careful when you go find somebody who you want to work with your birth chart and your signs. Not every person who puts something in their window that they're a psychic, first of all, is a psychic. I won't even go down that road. But not everybody can do the same things. I probably know, I don't even know how many people now who read, which means something different for every single one of them. And just make sure that you do your research and your due diligence, you know, as we used to say at the law firm, and make sure you're going to somebody who's reputable and who can actually give you the information that you need. You know, it's really hard too, because a lot of times you'll hear something about yourself and you'll be like, well, that's not me, so you're wrong. And then like you leave and within like the next few weeks, you're like, oh my gosh, this is me. Like that, like, yes.
100%
but
me.
You know, you have to really keep an open mind too when you're working with your astrology. But if you're working with another person, just please do your due diligence and make sure that they're a trustworthy person. Because I would hate to see anybody be like bamboozled, you know, because they want to find out more about themselves, you know.
Same. And it doesn't matter, like, oh, well, they use this house system over that house system.
No.
That honestly doesn't matter.
No.
Because all that the chart is doing is helping the astrologer look for patterns so that you can learn about yourself. It really doesn't matter what house system they use. What you should look for in astrology, in seeking an astrologer, is does this person, A, are they reputable?
Mm-hmm.
B, are they giving the type of readings that are going to help me? You don't go to a career astrologer if you're looking to get over a relationship.
Right.
You know, like you got to, astrologers do sometimes specialize. There are astrologers who specialize in reincarnation astrology and past lives versus like career path. Like you got to go to the people who are going to be able to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
And that's super important.
It is.
When people come in here and they're like, you know, I'm like, why don't you read about like what each reader does? And they're like, no, I'll just take whoever. Well, then you can't also be like, but they didn't really tell me what I wanted to know because I really wanted somebody to work with tarot cards. Well, they clearly don't work with tarot cards, you know?
Or whoever.
Like, so I think that people don't really, well, again, a road that I'm not going to go down, but like people don't really take like that whole field very seriously. And they think that you're just some party, you know, doing party tricks.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that it's just really important to just, really think about what you want. Like you said, if you really want to work on your relationships, don't go to somebody who specializes in how to work on your career, you know, because that's not going to help you.
Exactly.
So be really careful about that too.
Yeah. And working with an astrologer, it can be a significant investment depending on what you are planning to invest. It can be hundreds of dollars per session. And that's not unreasonable. It takes a lot of study to be able to read someone's chart. Especially if you're going beyond just a natal chart of like that, this is what this means in this house, not to downplay that. That's what I do. I'm not downplaying that at all. But like, you know, my astrologer, she's been an astrologer for a very long time. She's one of the most respected in the field. And like when I book an appointment with her, I wait months to get into her calendar and it costs hundreds of dollars and it's worth every single penny. Cause she's amazing.
Right.
And she's exactly what I need.
Right.
Which reminds me, I actually need to book another appointment.
Your astrologer also is part therapist because they are also looking at your chart, you know, kind of, you know, trying to decipher what it's saying about you. Cause like you said, different things, you know, can mean different things, you know, but also, you know, they're counseling you. They're helping you. A lot of times you have questions for somebody who's telling you a little bit about yourself. you know, and you're going to say, you know, I think your example, I can't remember what your example was before. Oh, about somebody who wants to be a speaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're signs, they have stage fright, but, you know, your question is going to be, well, how do I do that? Yeah. Oh, you should work with your rising sign. Well, how do I do that? So, like, they're counseling you. They're really experts in the matter. So you want to make sure you know, find somebody who's an expert, not just somebody who has a birth chart up in their window and like, yeah, I could tell you what this means, because some people can't. It's a real art.
It is.
And not every reader can. And not, you know, and if somebody has the word psychic, they're probably not. That's all I'm going to say.
If it's in neon letters.
I'm really holding my tongue.
No, I mean, it's like when you go to see a movie, right? You can't go see, like, a movie like The Hangover expecting an Oscar-worthy performance. Like,
exactly.
You go in for the laughs. You go in for the reasons that are in alignment.
Right.
So if you want to go see a psychic who might be doing more, like, party trick type stuff, go in.
Which is fun.
Yeah, go in
that
for fun.
That stuff is fun.
Go in
and
have a fun
time.
And
I'm not even trying to, like, slam psychics or anything like that. Because, you know, you can provide a good service for people. But when somebody's, like, coming to you and they're crying, and you're kind of playing on that, like, well, I could give you the answer you need for $500 or whatever, that's not cool. And it kind of gives everybody else a bad name. And it gives anybody out there who is a psychic or who is a reader or who is a medium, whatever they are, it gives them a bad name. So you got to just be careful.
I agree. Yeah, you got to find the right person for what you're looking for. Have a little discernment. And then you'll have a good experience. And the same is true, like, even if you just wanted to learn more about your moon, sun, and rising signs, you could easily spend an entire 1 hour consultation just talking about those three alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much you can get into with those. So, you know, you want to make sure that whatever you're going for matches who you're finding to work with. And, you know, it doesn't have to come down to looking for particular credentials. There are ways astrologers can get credentials. They're not necessarily accredited, at least in the United States. We don't have accreditation for that yet. But, you know, you can do your research a little bit. Or, you know, if you are just looking for that computer spit out, just to, you know, and you want to look for the patterns yourselves, go for it.
Oh, yeah. It's cool to try to do that.
It definitely
is.
You
know, try it. Or, you know, print it out. Try to decipher it and then make your appointment with your astrologist and then go through like, well, this is what I thought or whatever, you know, like that would be a great back and forth conversation, you know, if,
especially if you're interested in learning more about astrology in general.
Absolutely.
Because then you can kind of be like, okay, this is how I'm interpreting this. You know, there's been things people said to me, about astrology that I have found later not to be something I believe to be true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regret hearing it from them because in a lot of cases it pushed me toward the study of astrology, which I really enjoy. So, you know, like I'm not like, oh, it was the worst 20 minutes of my life, you know.
Right.
Like that would not be the case. But, you know, and I'm not saying that it's not, that they're not giving information they believe is true. They might very much believe that it's true, but I have found it to be the opposite. So, you know, coming up with what you think something is and then going to talk to someone who's studied it can be a very interesting learning experience.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's, yeah.
And again, if you're going to do that, go find the right person for that job.
Just find the right person, the person that's for you and somebody that you can have that banter with.
Yeah, yeah.
Very important. I see you have some cards over there.
I have some cards. This is from the Star Codes Astro Oracle by Heather Roan Robbins. And we've pulled from this before.
Okay.
But I thought considering we were talking about astrology, it would be great to have an astrology oracle.
Oh, beautiful.
They don't fan out very well, but that's okay
because
they're beautiful.
I will pick a card for the group.
Thank you. I always offer it to you because you usually have longer fingernails than I do. So if the cards are sticking together, you can separate them better.
Yeah, this is one card.
Okay.
So it says ninth house exploration.
All right, can I ask you for the number at the top in the drawing?
47.
Thank you. I love the ninth house. If your chart were a village map, the ninth house would contain the International Airport, University, or Broadcasting Tower. The ninth house is the original World Wide Web. It speaks of how we expand our world through official and unofficial higher education, travel, international understanding, philosophy, and global communication. The action for this card is to go exploring. Step out of your comfort zone and see what lies beyond the boundaries of your familiar bubble. Step into a new country, try on a fresh attitude, and immerse yourself in an unusual body of knowledge or a spiritual philosophy you did not grow up with. Boy, I'm going to just take a break here to say, if you've been wanting to learn about astrology and haven't yet, this could be your call to do so.
This, absolutely.
It is hard to see your bubble, the lens for your experience, until you step outside it. Look back at your socioeconomic milieu. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Sorry to anyone who speaks French. Family and friends and education, and confront any unconscious assumptions that your people, your class, your culture is all there is. You are being charged to develop a truly diverse perspective and understand that real diversity in person, ecosystem, or company builds resilience. Push your unique boundaries. If you are in an urban international, if you are an urban international traveler, you may be most stretched by small town life. Read the philosophy and spirituality from the far corner of the world. Once you've done all this work, share what you've learned with the world as a speaker, writer, traveler, teacher, or internet diva. Wake up the world. I'm going to ask Victoria if she would read the challenge and gift, because I need some water.
Sure.
Thank you.
So the challenge, when you finally break through and can see the far horizons, it can be difficult to reconcile the allure of those infinite possibilities with the familiarity of the people close to you. Both are important. And the gift, widen your horizon and expand your world. Explore in your body. It says explore in your mind, body, and soul. Teach what you know. The world is waiting for you. I'm so sorry because I got really excited reading that gift part.
Yeah.
Because somebody has asked me to do something that's totally outside of my comfort zone, but I'm considering it. So, I got really excited when I read that. So fabulous. Sorry, buddy.
No, that's awesome. So I also really like how the guidebook for this oracle talks about challenges and gifts, because that's in alignment with how I think about astrology. So once again, that is Star Codes Astro Oracle by Heather Roan Robbins. The artwork is by Lucas Lua de Souza, and it is absolutely exquisite. You can hop onto our Instagram to see the card. We're going to post it.
It's going to be lovely.
Yeah, because Victoria is kind enough to take a picture. And it's just, it's such a nice card. For those who are, just listening and are not going to look, it has a very almost like Renaissance-y map feel to it to me.
Yes. And I'm really, as you know, I'm really digging the cards lately. I have like those muted tones.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Trinity it's nice. Approves.
It's nice.
It's nice.
And what about you're a witch if?
So you're a witch if you use your personal astrology to inform your magic is mine.
Oh, mine is you're a witch if your pals, your friends, the way that you really start talking to them and know that they're your people is they will just ask you, so what's your sign and your moon and your rising? And then just you each dissect everything for the next couple of hours.
Or years.
Yeah. And then these are my people.
I love that. I love that so much. Well, thank you everybody for listening, and go find out your big three signs if you don't know them already, and delve in and learn a little bit more about yourself, or a lot more.
And stay magical. Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode.
If you loved this, please leave us a review. We can't wait to talk to you again next week.